Hello, you're listening to the C to Z in Movies. My name's Colin. I am the C. Joining me is Zijian the Z. Hello, Zijian.
Hello, hello. This is the first time we spoke today.
Tell you what, Zijian, let's not lie to our listeners. It's been nearly 200 episodes. We can reveal that we've spent the last hour and 10 minutes recording a couple of different quizzes for the final episode.
Yeah.
I'm excited about how this one's going to turn out. I think it's going to be fun.
I think it'll be good. I think if you love quizzes, I think we've got quite a good variety of questions.
Yeah. So if anyone wasn't aware, we've invited a bunch of people. I think 9 different people are coming on the podcast. They've got written quizzes for both of us. And we're so used to quizzing each other with rampant accusations of making questions too difficult or what have you. So it's nice to...
I mean, some are fairer than others, though.
In fairness, Zijian, both of us have already complained about the difficulty of the questions we're being asked by people as well. So there's still, I don't think this has settled anything, but no. It's going to be a fun final episode, which will come out sometime in mid-January, if I remember rightly. Yeah. So stick around for that. Of course, our final episode there, episode 200, that'll be. But in fact, this is episode 197, and today we're doing an MCU tier list, Zijian.
We started with the MCU. We're not going to end with the MCU.
Not quite.
Close enough.
we're not crazy enough to try and tier list every single thing they've ever done. We're just doing the stuff that came out post-Endgame. As a break from tradition on this podcast, we're going to do the TV as well as movies. I don't think we're doing anything else. Nothing like comics or action figures or anything.
No.
Maybe I should tier list all Marvel Funko
Action
Pops.
Figures. Action. What?
No. We're also talking about the film The Best Years of Our Lives. We've got a quiz on the movies of Ben Affleck and Matt Damon and much more. We start, of course, with movie news. What have you got?
So we've got more casting news for Superman Legacy.
I'm feeling pretty smug about this.
Why? Who do you predict is Superman Legacy? I know you predicted some other things, but not this one.
Don't you recall our last episode where I just said out of the blue, hasn't Nicholas Holt been cast as Lex Luthor? And it turned out he hadn't, but now he has.
Yes.
It's not really a prediction. It's just thinking something had happened that hadn't, and now it has. But how did I know this, John?
I know why you thought of him, because he was in the running to play Superman for a time, right?
He was down to the shortest of three, wasn't he?
Yeah, against Derek Corrin's sweat, who won it, really, who looks like Henry Cavill, but younger.
Yeah. I think what probably happened is that someone on Twitter was like, why is he up for Superman? He'd be better Lex Luthor. And I just got it confused in my mind. I think that's a great choice for Lex Luthor. Although, I'm trying to think, was he bold in Mad Max?
I'm sure, yes, he was. Yeah. I'm sure I've seen him bald somewhere before. And I couldn't point out where he was, but yeah, he was definitely bald in Mad Max.
Hmm. Yeah, so because you don't want to go hiring someone that turns out they look really dumb without any hair. It's like Timothy Oliphant is a good looking man, but I don't think he wasn't he Agent 47 and Hitman? It just looked weird without the hair.
Oh,
it's a risk you take.
Yes.
But then how many actors are willing to shave their head just for an audition?
I mean,
I'd do it.
I mean, it's easier for you than for me, for example.
Great actor, good bit of casting. Quite excited by this one.
We not only got Lex Luthor though; we still have Jimmy Olsen has been casted as well.
Yep.
And Eve Teschmacher.
Yeah. So Skylar Gonzondo, who is Jimmy Olsen. I don't know that. I don't know Skylar Gonzondo. And Sarah Sampayo is Eve Teschmacher.
Do you know Eve?
Yeah, she was played by Parker Posey in Superman Returns. She was in the original Christopher Reeve series. So I don't know from the comics, maybe, you know, I have an idea there, but she kind of, I mean, an associate, sometimes girlfriend, maybe, of Lex Luthor?
Yeah, he was created for the Superman film.
Oh, really?
So he wasn't in the comics. Yeah, she wasn't in the comics at all.
I didn't know that. Oh, that's interesting. Apparently, Skylar Gonzondo was in Licorice Pizza.
Huh.
As Lance Branigan, and was also in Booksmart as Jared, and was in Night of the Museum, Secret of the Tomb, and was in, he's done all sorts of stuff, including Space Buddies, Santa Buddies, Spooky Buddies, Treasure Buddies. I think those are kids' cartoons as far as I can work out. So he's And Air Buddies, sorry. And Snow Buddies. He's done a lot of Buddies movies. There's not... I mean, Nicholas Holt, I guess, is the biggest name cast so far in any of these things, is he? In any of the roles?
I guess so. I mean, he's joined the ranks of a few who have both DC and Marvel characters.
Oh, yeah, because Beast, of course.
Yep.
Sarah Sampaio has only made 5 films. I've not heard any of them.
Oh, wow.
No, I've seen one of them. She played herself in The Clapper. I have seen that film. I don't remember her in it. But it looks like she's a singer, maybe? Oh, she's a model. And a beauty ambassador. There you go. In 2019, she was Fashion Personality of the Year. It's all going
on. Why are you going through that whole Wikipedia pages and just telling us about it?
People need to know this stuff.
No, we've got a podcast to finish.
We've got loads of fans who are obsessed with the Portuguese beauty scene, and they're shouting at us, don't you know Sarah Sampaio?
Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan, Zijan. Michael B. Jordan is apparently going to be directing Creed 4, which is apparently happening, having directed Creed 3, mm-hmm. Which is a solid, it's a good film. Good film.
Yeah.
And his directorial debut, so it's nice to see he'll be back. No word. I don't think this isn't from him. I'm not sure. Was it Irvin Winkler? It was from someone involved in the production, I think.
Yeah, it is one of the producers. I don't think it's confirmed yet, though. I think it's more speculation. Well, not speculation, but she wants him to come back to direct it.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Because, last time Sly Stallone, he didn't come back because he didn't like the story, apparently. So it'd be nice to see him back in the role. I think Creed is never going to kind of fully break free of it being a Rocky film, is it? But I think it has done as much as it can. It's got two phenomenal actors in the leads. It's telling its own stories, but it doesn't hurt to have Rocky.
Yeah, but still, I mean, they didn't leave on good terms, did they? So,
No, that's fair. That's fair. Sly Stallone had some very... I think he gets on very well with Michael B. Jordan, I'm sure, but with the producers has fallen out a bit.
Jackie Chan and Ralph Macchio are teaming up for a new Karate Kid film.
Mm.
So Ralph Macchio was in the original Karate Kid films in the 1980s as Daniel LaRusso, and I think he appears in Cobra Kai as well on Netflix.
Yes.
Jackie Chan was in a remake of The Karate Kid, which starred Jaden Smith, that we do not talk much about. And that was primarily set in China as well, which karate isn't that big in either. So it was a bit weird of a weird take, that Karate Kid. But...
yeah, apparently he taught some Kung Fu. But,
yeah, with the name Karate Kid. So, yeah. So there'll be a brand new film with both of them in it. It's going to be directed by Jonathan Entwistle, who did The End of the Effing World, with a script by Peter Rabbit's Rob Libber.
Ooh.
Yes. But the most important thing, Colin, the most important thing for this is that...
I hope you're going to come onto this, yes.
Yes. A search is underway for a Chinese actor.
Yes.
To be the Karate Kid, Colin. This is
now, Zijan, your history of trying to break into cinema has not been 100% successful.
I mean, it hasn't been 1% successful.
No. Are you going to put yourself forward at KarateKidCasting.com to be the new Karate Kid?
I mean, how young must they be, though, to be considered a kid?
I mean, I imagine they're probably looking for someone under 20.
Is Billy the Kid a kid, though?
Good point. I'd have to say yes. I'd have to say he is. He's got the kid in his name. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be your audition tape? Billy the Kid was 22 when he died.
Oh no. well, John Entwistle, if you want a 30-year-old, 8-year-old something wannabe actor.
30-year-old.
Here you go. I'm volunteering. Yeah. I don't need pay.
Yeah, that's free. And if you I'm not auditioning obviously for the role of the Karate Kid, but if you need a white British guy hanging around on set, I'll do it for nothing as well. So
yeah. Do it for the exposure.
The option, yeah. The options are, I just need to be wearing a t-shirt that says CZ Movies on it. here's some strange news. Sony Pictures apparently have agreed a deal with the Guardian newspaper to get exclusive first rights to adapt their journalism into film, TV, and documentary. This is baffling.
I thought you don't read The Guardian.
I definitely don't read The Guardian.
I know you're very against The Guardian.
I am against The Guardian. But again, if they want me to be in their films, I'm prepared to jettison all my morals in favor of that. So there's a film called The Fifth Estate, which is about Julian Assange, and that had a lot of Guardian journalists in it, so real-life editors and journalists being played by... I can't remember the cast at all, other than Benedict Cumberbatch played Julian Assange, so I can't remember who played them, but they were in that. I don't know if that was a Sony thing, I can't remember. But it seems odd to kind of option to use their journalism, because you can't like copyright the news. You can't just go and say, well, this story was in The Guardian, therefore we have the rights to it. But I suppose you can have the rights to use their particular like if it's a special investigation or something, or if you want to say behind the scenes. It seems an odd move by Sony. Not the first time that Sony made an odd move, but strange.
That's very weird.
Do you see this working? I don't know what it is, really.
I don't know what it is at all. I don't understand it. We'll see.
Dick to J. Jonah Jameson, Sony.
We've got a new writer for Avengers the Kang Dynasty. Dynasty. Well, we don't know it's going to be called that now.
Dynasty for our American listeners.
Obviously, we don't know whether Jonathan Majors will come back to the Avengers, etc. So who knows? But it's going to be written by Michael Waldron, who did the recent Doctor Strange, which I didn't like. We'll come to that as well in the rankings. But he also wrote Loki 2, which I think you enjoyed, Colin.
Yes. Yeah.
And you'll find out whether I enjoyed it or not.
I think they're completely retooling this, but interesting to see what they do. Have you finished Loki 2, or do you want to reveal that later?
I can say now I've watched four to five episodes. Yeah.
Okay. So it'll be interesting to see if he carries over for that. Bit of Scream news. Both Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega are not going to be appearing in the next Scream film. For very different reasons. So Melissa Barrera, and again, this is not a podcast that delves into politics and strong opinions about these things, but she made some comments about the conflict in Israel and Gaza that were not appreciated by Spyglass, who make the Scream movies, so they basically fired her. Jenna Ortega, I think the original rumor was that she was basically quitting in solidarity. Now we're saying that she can't do it because she's filming Wednesday. Read into that whatever you want. There are the calls for Neve Campbell to return. I think she's also fallen out with them after they didn't offer the money she wanted for the previous one. Also rumors that Patrick Dempsey might be in it, because apparently he plays a fairly small role in one or two of the earlier ones.
I think so. Yes, he does.
Well, Jenna Ortega probably more so than Melissa Barrera are kind of stars in their own right now. Neve Campbell might bring people back in because she is the de facto lead of the series. Patrick Dempsey, I mean, I guess people like Patrick Dempsey, but I'm not sure people are rushing to cinemas to see Patrick Dempsey. So I don't know. It seems like a bit of a Hail Mary.
It's just weird to have all this black blood in this Scream franchise. It's just
nice. Is that a pun?
No.
Okay.
I wasn't trying.
It's worth a stab. That is a pun on the Stab franchise that appears within the Scream movies. I've seen 10 minutes of one Scream movie. I know what I'm talking about. So have you watched the Scream movies or any of them?
I watched the first one.
Okay. Should I watch it?
No. Because
I don't like horror movies. But I love Neve Campbell.
I know there's a lot of like this whole meta commentary and all the parodies and all that, but it's still a horror movie.
Okay. Yeah, well, I can find a kind of a supercut where there's no blood.
It's still a horror movie at the end of the day. So no, I wouldn't say you like it. Yeah.
Fair enough. Thank you.
From one dystopia to another dystopia, the Hunger Games director Francis Lawrence will be adapting Stephen King's The Long Walk.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think he was made into a film before, but this is the 1979 film book where 100 boys have to walk and keep a steady pace of 4 miles per hour without ever stopping.
Oh.
And the one who lives till the end will win a prize, which is anything he wants for the rest of his life.
But new trainers, probably.
Yeah, if they fall below the speed or go above that speed at any point in time, like all dystopian, they do not live.
So it sounds a bit like a combination of they shoot horses, don't they, and speed.
How are you doing this, Colin?
I mean, I die instantly. I don't know how fast 4 miles an hour is.
4 miles an hour. 4 miles an
hour. I don't mind walking. I like to walk quite long distances. But if someone said to me, right, walk at 4 miles an hour right now, I wouldn't know how fast that was. Do you know they shoot horses, don't they? It's, I think it's a kind of Depression era film, if I remember rightly. Basically, couples have got to keep dancing. And if they stop dancing, then they're out. In fact, there is an episode of the Gilmore Girls called They Shoot Gilmores, don't they? Where they have a similar concept.
Yes, they did.
Based on that.
We've got a new director for The Saint, Doug Liman,
who
did your favorite and my favorite, Age of Tomorrow.
Great film. Will
be directing Reggie Jean Page in The Saint. And those who do not know, he is the most known for Bridgerton.
Yeah. Have you ever seen any stuff, The Saint stuff? I haven't.
Me neither.
I once read a short story. Simon Templar, I can't remember who wrote them. Most famously, Roger Moore TV series before he was Bond. Val Kilmer paid him in a...
He's like a Robin Hood kind of guy, isn't he? Steal from a rich, give to a poor.
Is that right?
I think so.
There you go. That's the same. I guess, yeah, it seems an odd one, like, because they keep trying to make it. I think there was another low-budget film after Val Kilmer that didn't, or maybe it was they tried to make a TV series or something, but good luck to him. Speaking of things that they keep trying to make, Jason Bourne is coming back. Edward Berger, who directed the remake of All Quiet on the Western Front, which I've still not got around to watching. Well, people love that. He's in talks to it. No word yet on whether they'll be bringing back Matt Damon or anyone else from the original five films now, I think. Well, four with Matt Damon, one with Jeremy Renner.
Yep.
So we shall see. I don't think this is a good idea.
Well, when you run out of ideas, when Hollywood ran out of ideas.
It's a good job all those writers are back to work.
I know, right?
inspirational thoughts.
I don't have any more news, by the way.
I only have one more piece of news. It's the great news that Aardman have got enough clay. It was apparently reported in the Telegraph that international clay shortages were going to halt the production of maybe the Chicken Run sequel or maybe something else.
Yes, it's a Chicken Run sequel, yeah.
And Aardman have put out, don't worry, everyone, we've got enough clay.
I'm looking forward to this sequel. It's been a long time since I've seen an Aardman production, so I really want to watch it.
Yeah, what was the last one? Early Man, was that the last one?
Probably, yeah. It's been a while.
Great news for clay fans. We move on then to our next segment, To See or Not To Zed, where we tell you the list of our films we've recently seen and whether you should see them or not read them, Zijan.
You know what I'm going to talk to you about. Yes,
you're going to talk to me about The Hunger Games : The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes.
What a mouthful of a title, man. The Hunger Games prequel. And if you've seen The Hunger Games before, Coriolanus Snow, the games master of the Hunger Games, the guy who Katniss was going against throughout the entire series. Well, guess what? We learn his backstory.
He had a past.
Because why not?
Although, in fairness, then at least it was a book.
Yes, that's true. Rather than coming out with something brand new altogether. And he's played by relatively newcomer Tom Blyth, which is... Well done on him for getting this job, man. Cause he's sharing a cast with like Viola Davis, Peter Dinklage.
Was that Viola Davis?
Yeah, Viola Davis.
I did not recognize her. No, fair point.
Yeah, and Rachel Zegler plays the tribute that he is mentoring. Yeah, is that all I can say without spoiling anything? Yeah, that's probably it.
So it's not the first ever Hunger Games, but it's in the early days. Was it?
They probably say 10th Hunger Games. Tenth year, I think. Is it? Yeah. Okay. And the Hunger Games were doing quite badly because no one wants to watch it. So they've tasked the people in the capital to come up with ideas to bring up the ratings of the Hunger Games, basically. So that's when they introduced things like mentoring and giving gifts to the tributes, etc. I think in this Hunger Games, which is which turned into the Hunger Games we know in, when Jennifer Lawrence was in it.
Yes, they might be suspecting we remember more than I do. Not the Hunger Games movies, like how they bring in like food on drones. Like, yeah, vaguely. Yeah. Well, this is how that happened. What do you think?
It's weird because, like, I've not read a book. Have you read a book before?
I've not read the prequel, no.
Yeah, so I've read the Hunger Games, the trilogy. So going into it, I kind of knew what to expect. Whereas for this one, for example, I didn't know what to expect at all. So I was quite surprised that after the games ended, there was still one entire whole film
This has been a very common response, I think, is that it's a kind of a fairly wrapped up story and then there's another hour to go. Yeah. And that was my experience as well. I've also seen this. I know they get criticism, a lot of these franchises, for splitting books into two, and the Hunger Games, more than most, I think, was fairly criticized for splitting the last book into two movies. But this felt like you should split this book into two movies.
It feels like it, right? Like the second part could be its own thing, I guess. Although it's probably not as interesting. That's the thing, right? It's just not as interesting. No one likes to watch the Hunger Games bit where there isn't any Hunger Games.
Well, there's no Hunger Games, yeah.
In it, yeah. It's like the third movie of the Hunger Games because that's the one before they went into the capital. So that was just all about Peter being stuck there somewhere and Katniss just trying to promote herself. No one cares about that film at all because no one wants to see the Hunger Games without that. So, yeah, even if you want to create this to a sequel, I don't think it'll work either because no one cares about anything else but seeing kids kill each other in a battle royale. Yeah. Sad but true.
Yeah, I quite like this. But with that caveat, I think he was very good. I think Rachel Zegler is always good. The film is very long, but they do rattle through because the second half basically is all in an hour. It kind of rattles through a lot of character changes and things very quickly, I thought. So the pacing's a bit off. I think the genius of the Hunger Games, the books particularly, but also the first film, is that everyone kind of accepts that it's happening, and so that kind of describing this really terrible, horrendous, kids battling to the death thing, but no one's really questioning it. And I think kind of to create that world and to make that point, I thought was really good. So I feel it almost loses something a bit when you've got people saying, wait a minute, this is really terrible. But I think if you actually have characters to start doing that, it kind of takes you out of it maybe a bit more. But maybe has done in the early days, I don't know. I don't know how well this is doing. Is this bringing in the money?
I think it's doing okay. Partially because like I think it helped that the actors can now give interviews.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. In the past few months with the strikes and all that. But now, I've seen a lot of interviews with the main cast and they seem to be enjoying themselves. I think it's doing okay.
Fair enough. Yeah, it's doing much better than any Hunger Games prequel has a right to do, I think, because everyone's forgotten the Hunger Games now.
Yeah.
I've also been watching a film with a very long title. It's called Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret.
That's based on the very famous book, isn't it?
It is. It's a coming of age story about I think she's 11 or 12 year old girl, and I would normally not go within a million miles of this, but it's directed by Kelly Freeman Craig, and I think it's only her second film, and she directed The Age of 17, which is
because it's about a girl going through puberty, right?
Basically, yeah. So precisely that, yeah. So all the trials and tribulations of a preteen girl, both social and physical, shall we say. And I saw that I follow her on Twitter, and she said something like, maybe she was quoting someone, even if you think this film would not be for you, you should still definitely watch it. So I thought, well, this is not for me, but I like her. Rachel McCann's in it. She's always great. So I'll say, well, no one's going to pick me up on this, but she was absolutely terrible in the Eurovision movie. She's usually great. I've got to say, I'm not entirely sure I agree. It's very well directed. It is very well done, but I don't think it's for a 38-year-old man without daughters to watch.
Did you watch it in the cinema, Colin?
No.
Please tell me no.
Goodness me, no. No, it's on Amazon Prime. So if you've got Amazon Prime, it's freely available to you. And I imagine if you are either a 11-year-old girl or you have an 11-year-old daughter, this would be a great film to watch. But if you're a 38-year-old guy, some scenes are just difficult to get through. But I can't remember her name, but the girl playing Margaret is really good, really good. So yeah, strong performances all around. Kathy Bates is in it.
Ah, oh.
Yeah, it's very good, but not I think for me. We move on then, Zijian, to our look back in Oscar segment. I've moved it around because we didn't get to it last time.
Yes.
Where we have been watching the movie The Best Years of Our Lives, Zijian.
Yes. I think they really need to rename this film. This is a 1946 American drama film directed by William Wyler, starring Myrna Loy, Friedrich March, Dana Andrews, Teresa White, Virginia Mayo, and Harold Russell. The film is about three United States servicemen readjusting to societal change in civilian life after coming home from World War II. And the three men come from different ranks and different services that do not correspond with their civilian social class backgrounds, basically. Mm. It won 7 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, and Best Supporting Actor. And I say that it needs a new name because I have no idea why it's called The Best Years of Our Lives. I don't think the film depicts the best year of the lives of this man, though.
No, fair enough. In fact, it's based on a novella, but that was called Glory for Me, which in fairness is also a terrible title. It's also known as Home Again. That makes more sense.
That makes a lot more sense.
There you go. You say it won 7 Oscars. It also won 2 others. The Irving G. Thalberg Memorial Award for Samuel Goldwyn, which seems to be some sort of honorary thing, and a very special Academy Honorary Award to Harold Russell, who became he's the only person ever done it, to win 2 Oscars for the same performance. He plays Homer Parrish. He's a man who's lost both his hands in the war, and the actor himself had lost both his hands. So it's a slightly odd thing that apparently he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. They didn't think he would win, so they gave him this honorary thing, and then he won, and well, so he got 2.
Well, good for him, right?
Yeah, and he was he wasn't a professional actor. It was the first thing he'd done, I think. And I didn't realize until reading this afterwards that he wasn't an actor before this. What do you think of this one?
It's okay, I would say. Like, I wish I had a better, like I could say it's really good or it's really bad, but it's neither. It's okay. So, like, I mean, it just goes through the lives of these three guys. One is a banker, so he's quite rich. And the main guy we see, he is the lieutenant or sergeant. I can't remember. He's the highest rank, basically, of the three of them. And he is pretty much jobless when he comes back home. So that's who you are focused on most.
Yeah, I think he's the captain. Yeah,
he's the captain. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with this film, I would say. The performances are okay as well. I wish I had a better, better feedback for this because. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I don't think I'd heard of this before looking for films to do here, which is incredible because it was phenomenally popular at the time. Apparently, in the UK, it's the 6th most attended film of all time.
Really?
It's the
highest
grossing film since Gone with the Wind. I say it won 7 Oscars plus 2 honorary Oscars. It was one of the first films selected by the Library of Congress for preservation, the first 25. Like, it's this like massive thing, but I hadn't heard of it. I think a lot of people hadn't heard of it. What bugged me is that it came out in the same year as It's a Wonderful Life, and it beat It's a Wonderful Life to Best Picture, which you look at that now and you think that's insane. And I don't know whether because it came out just after the Second World War.
Yeah, probably is because of that, though.
Yeah. William Wyler again directed. He also directed Mrs. Miniver, which we looked at before. Yes. But yeah, I think I'm with you. It's kind of, it's well done. It's well acted. It's fine. I was engaged in it. I didn't feel bored at any point, even though it is a very long film.
I was just not impressed by it.
I'm not going to go and say, everyone must watch this film. No.
Yeah.
No. Interesting. Interesting how time changes, though.
Yeah.
There you go. Next time, it is Actor Factor. Zijian, who is our Actor Factor?
It's our last Actor Factor.
It is our last Actor Factor. Yes, it is. Good point. Yeah.
So I've chosen one actor that I've been saving for so long, and we haven't done it before, and it's quite surprising. It's the great Meryl Streep.
Oh, have you not done Meryl Streep?
We've never done Meryl Streep, because we did like a Tom Hanks, whole podcast on Tom Hanks, so I thought we'll do an equivalent one on Meryl Streep, given how big they both are, right? But we never did one. So Meryl Streep, who has been in many, many good films.
Good choice. Yeah. Now, we did a quiz on her once, but we've never done an actor factor on her. So,
no.
Excellent. I'll put it in as my... I think that's a very fitting one to finish on.
I think so. And on how we started with Jim Carrey.
Did we?
Yeah. We should end on Meryl Streep.
Well, there you go. From Jim Carrey to Meryl Streep in 198 episodes.
Yeah.
Fine. Well, we move on then to our main topic of the day. I'm so tired.
Let's get this over with in 10 minutes, Colin. We there's so many.
There are 19 movies. Well, 20 if you count Loki season 1 and season 2 as two different things. Are we doing that?
Yes, I guess so.
I guess we are. There are 20 of these things to go through. Now, I suggested that we rank them A star, A, B, C, D. But Zijian, you are plugged into Reddit and what have you.
Yes.
And you tell me that our top grade shouldn't be A star. What should it be?
It should be S.
What does S stand for?
Not better than A.
S stands for better than A.
S stands for better than A.
Okay.
It's S, A, B, C, D. If you look at any YouTuber who does rankings on stuff, it's always S, A, B, C, D. You don't question why. You just accept and move on. We are too old for this. The young ones know better.
Okay. Fine. Anyway, what does the S and S tier stand for? Special or super or the Japanese word for exemplary? Well, there you go. Apparently, it comes from Japan.
Yeah, I think it comes because a lot of Japanese games, the ranks go from, S, A, B, C, D. That's probably where it comes
from. There you go. Now, usually when we've seen tier lists, which I'll be honest, I think peaked in popularity about 3 years ago, they are on YouTube, as you say. They're videos, and they've got pretty little tiers. We're not doing that. But if you want to kind of like cut out some bits of paper or something and colour them in, you can along with us fill out this tier. We can't stop you.
Or you can just use your imagination.
You can just use your imagination. Or just email me and I'll send you the spreadsheet. That'll be fine. I've put these down in order of release. And when it's a TV series, I've gone with the date of the first episode. I think it's fair to say neither of us have prepped for this. So it's going to be a bit of a discussion. We're going to try and come to the same conclusion rather than having two different tier lists. And that's it. There's no rules otherwise. If everything ends up in S, then happy days. I don't think it will.
No, it won't. I can guarantee it won't.
But that's how we're going to go. We're going to start off with WandaVision. So we've got 20 of these. So we don't want to spend more than about a minute on each of them.
No, please don't.
It kicked off Marvel TV and of course, came out during one of the lockdowns, I think.
Yes.
Or around that time. What are your initial thoughts on this?
It started off really good, and I think this is going to apply to a lot of the Marvel stuff. It started off really good, and it kind of tapered off towards the end. I particularly didn't really care for the last episode that much. Mm. A lot of the things that I like were all the old sitcom tropes, everything of that I love. I loved Vision talking about grief. That was really good. I also like Agatha Harkness, even though everyone knew that she, Catherine Hahn, is going to be Agatha Harkness. I also like her review, that's fine, but I did not like the last episode at all. I hated
you say that, but the whole grief thing was in the last episode, wasn't it? So
it was, yeah. I didn't, yeah, that's true, not at all. It's probably right,
yeah. A lot of the last episode, I think you're right, became just firing lasers at each other, but So this would have been less for me, but I actually rewatched it, and I picked more holes in it. I think when you cast your mind back to then, this was so big. Like online, there were so many theories going around, and I think people were a bit disappointed. I mean, things like the Evan Peters playing Quicksilver, and then he turns out he wasn't, and he's like, "Well, what was the point of that then?"
Exactly.
So it's still an A for me. I'd still put it as an A because I think it's really imaginative, great central performances. I think it's just such a clever thing to do with a Marvel series that just was so unexpected. So yeah, I put it A.
I think it's an A for me as well, only because it's a lot more original than others, and there are quite a lot that are really not original at all.
Fast forward 2 months to The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Oh.
It's another series of MCU. It obviously follows on. At the end of Endgame, we knew that Sam was going to be the new Captain America. But why not have another 10 episodes or something, or whatever it was, 6 episodes, I don't know, to conclude the same thing. We got introduced to John...
Kurt Russell's son.
Kurt Russell's son.
Wyatt Russell.
Basically, the Wyatt Russell, the fake Captain America. We got introduced to the Countess. What's her name?
Countess? Yes.
Anyway.
I cannot remember the plot of this entire... Oh, yeah, Zemo appeared, right? Yes, Zemo appeared.
Baron Zemo was in it. Sharon Carter came back.
As a baddie for some reason.
They had Isaiah something, was it? The original Captain America?
All the bad memories are coming to me now.
I think this is kind of typifies the mistake they often made with these. Maybe never more so than this, in just putting a film's worth of ideas into a series.
It's a lot. I cannot remember a lot, any of it at all. Now that you mention it, now that Zemo came, they went to this weird place. I can't remember. There's a name for it, and Sharon Carter is leading it. If I can't remember the plot of it,
yeah, it's a place that, and again, I can't remember the name either. But it features quite heavily in the Hawkeye comics, but didn't appear in that series. What are you thinking then?
I think I'll put it as C. So D, I'll put bad. C, I'll just put forgettable. That's why I'll put it.
Yeah, I think I'll go C then. It was between C and D. There's enough interesting stuff in here to save it from D. I think it's exactly how not to do these series. Really. Yeah, it's almost D for me, but I'll put it C.
I did quite like the friendship between Falcon and Winter Soldier, though.
Yeah, I'm being... harsh. I think it also suffered because there seemed there was clearly a storyline about a virus that they had to cut out at the last minute.
Yes.
As it came out of COVID. Next, we have Loki Season 1. Obviously, bringing back Loki from after the events of Endgame, or after the events of the first Avengers film.
Okay.
It's time at the TVA.
I think this is one of the first ones that you need to convince me. Huh? Like, I never got into Loki.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The whole first season, I never got into it at all. So, things I like, Tom Hiddleston. I like Sylvie. I think she was played really well. And then, I just couldn't care at all about the whole TVA thing.
I really like Mobius. Owen Wilson, I thought it was a great performance. It's quite Owen Wilson-y, but also, who thought we were going to get Owen Wilson in the MCU at all? And again, I think, if someone's like, we're going to do a Loki series, you think, well, I don't know, he's going to be just wandering around Asgard or something. But I think the way they did, like, again, shows so much imagination to say, we're going to do TVA, we're just going to put Loki in it.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll give you that.
That was great. I mean, it's certainly not an S for me, but I'd be hovering between an A and a B probably for Loki Season 1.
Yeah.
I had a great time with it. I think on rewatch, I probably enjoyed it even more.
I'll probably give it more points for originality, but apart from that, I just couldn't get into it. It would have been like a B for me.
Should we settle on a B then?
Yeah.
I'm happy to settle on a B. I think it's a little harsh. I probably would have gone A, but we can settle on a B, and I'll put that in my pocket for later when I need it.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah.
We come on to Black Widow, the first movie in the list. It came out famously on Disney+. Black Widow, I think, really struggled because it would have been good if they'd made it in 2017 when they should have made it.
I hated Taskmaster so much.
Villain. Yeah.
Taskmaster had a lot of potential. Like, they were supposed to be able to replicate all sorts of moves that they've seen before. But what a waste. Like, what a waste of that. And then it turns out she's not being the main villain, obviously. But the only good thing about Black Widow is they introduced Florence Pugh.
I say Florence Pugh is definitely the strongest part of this. David Harbour and Rachel Weisz, I quite liked. We're going to see David Harbour again in Thunderbolts. But yeah, this was just a nothing film. I think it's a sheer shame because I think Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow is great, really great. I mean, the first two Avengers films in particular. How good would it have been if we'd had a spin-off just after the second Avengers film, or just after Civil War, something like that?
Yes.
Instead, we wait till the character's literally dead, And then like, oh yeah, no, she did this before she died.
Yeah. I'll give it a C.
I'll give it a C, yeah. We've got What If, the first animated series after season one. This is looking at what would have happened in various different scenarios. It starts off fairly tame with what if Hayley Atwell instead of Chris Evans got the super soldier powers.
Yeah.
But then kind of gets weird and wacky. And then, spoilers, at the end, they team them all up to fight a kind of a Ultron Vision type thing. I had a lot of fun with this. I think it's kind of, because it was separate.
Yes.
Animated, it felt like nothing rested too much. No, it was just a bit of fun.
That's probably the main good thing about this, right? Like, it doesn't feel like they need to tie up with everything. And I think that's one of the issues we'll find in the MCU is that, my goodness, to keep up with any of them, you need to watch so much stuff. Mm. And at least this one, it stands on its own. Yeah. Which is
it was
thing.
Nice they brought pretty much all the, well, most of the cast back. I'd give it a B.
I'll give it a B too.
Yeah. Now, this is going to be interesting. We've got Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Simu Liu, of course. Awkwafina.
Yeah.
It did very well at the box office. It was a popular movie.
Did really well. I think Simu Liu is a good choice for Shang-Chi as well. I think my main issue with this, and we've covered this in our review of this, is that Shang-Chi is such a great martial artist. Why on earth did the second half of the film is spent in this mystical land with dragons and weird creatures and magic? Why do you go into that at all when you have someone who is known and well known for being an expert in martial arts? It just devolves into all those. I didn't like that. And I didn't like I know the point of Awkwafina's character to be there to, as a soundboard for Shang-Chi. But I didn't like, oh, she suddenly can shoot an arrow into the eye of the dragon thing. Annoyed me so much.
Yeah, I liked Awkwafina in it, but I got bugged with the amount of CGI at the end. I also got bugged with the whole magical world, which I think went over the top. It was nice to see Trevor Slattery back again. But
yes,
it would have been good to have him for one scene joke rather than keep pushing him over and over.
They got Tony Leung to come.
Yeah.
They got Tony Leung to come and play Shang-Chi's father. I mean, he did. I love Tony Leung. But still, I just hated the whole magical thing at the end. That's all.
Yeah. I think, I agree, he's a great addition, and I look forward to seeing him in other films, in Avengers films, where have you.
A B.
B. Yeah, I'm.
I think C is boring.
But C is probably too
unforgettable.
Hard.
Yeah,
so
I think so.
I'll go for a low B.
Yeah, same.
Right, Eternals, the biggest bomb that the MCU has had, the biggest failure they've had. It was directed by Chloe Zhao.
Yeah, and you can tell.
Off Nomadland, a film that I don't know how it won, because it wasn't very good. A group of people that have lived for a very long time and have been hanging around. And I own like 10 Funko Pops of it.
All 10 of them.
Pretty much.
This film I did not like a lot. It was drab, because Chloe Zhao likes her drab colors, very gray. To introduce 10 brand new characters into a film that no one has heard of and to want to make us care about any of these characters is a huge ask for anyone. Like, the first Avengers film only had 6 Avengers, and you're asking us to care for 10 characters, some of which do not even get any screen time whatsoever.
I know all these things have this issue of like, well, why didn't they help out with such and such? But the idea that they've just been hanging around, they're just seeing Thanos and going, oh, never mind, we'll let them get on with it, was, it felt like it belongs in a completely different universe. It didn't feel like a Marvel film to me.
It should like,
Harry
Styles appears in the end as well.
Oh, Harry Styles. The question is it a C or a D? Because it's not good at all. Well, I say it's not good, but I liked, oh, what's the name? The main woman, I can't remember her name. I thought she was charming.
Cersei.
So, yeah. It had some fun bits. But overall,
I know what's in my D list. And I think, even though I hated, I didn't like this film when I watched it, I still think it's more boring than.
I think there's enough there to give it a, scrape a C, shall we say.
Scrape a C, yeah. I know what's in my D list for sure.
Okay. I'll find out. Later that month was Hawkeye came or started on the 24th of November 2021. Yes. In the lead up to Christmas, Jeremy Renner is back as Hawkeye, introducing Kate Bishop, as played by Hayley Steinfeld, based on the Matt Fraction comic book series. I think it's the only time they've actually used a logo from a comic book for the series. They very clearly paid their homages and kind of acknowledged their debt for that series. I'm not going to mess around. I'm not going to beat around the bush. This is top of the tier for me. This is S. I love this.
This is S for you. Yeah. A lot of things I like about this. I liked that it's set in Christmas. Mm-hmm. I like that they introduced Hayley Steinfeld. And I like that Florence Pugh is back as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Very, all very good things. Yeah, I don't think I can find anything.
I felt like there was going to be a kind of. Is it something you didn't like about it? Or is it.
No. I don't think there is. Okay. I think I would just watch. I would love to watch Florence Pugh and Hayley Steinfeld just eat mac and cheese every day.
So good together. Yeah. And spoilers, obviously, for the Marvel, but we saw that Kate Bishop is back, and a young Avengers movie seems like it's around the corner at some point. I gotta say, I remember loving this, and then rewatching it, I just loved it just as much. It's so good, and it kind of, I think, because I've come off the back of a few things where I'm trying to persuade myself, yeah, it was all right, it was pretty good, and then I watched this, think, yeah, this is just so good. This is what they should be doing. Like, they've put genuine time and effort into making this the best it can be.
Yes.
And yeah. Speaking of which, month after that, just in the lead up to Christmas, we had Spider-Man No Way Home. Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire are back. How much do we want to talk about this before we give an S?
It's an S. It's the strongest movie that came out after Endgame.
Oh, by so much. By such a big margin. Yeah. This is, I mean, I definitely one of the best films of that year. We did an episode on it. Let's not. We don't need to talk too much about it. There was then a 3 month gap before we got Moon Knight. This is a tough one. So Oscar Isaac playing the titular character.
I thought there was a lot of wasted potential for someone who has multiple personality disorder. I think it's done very well. The whole multiple personality thing, the whole gods thing was like. I guess you kind of have to do it, but the last fight was a big CGI fight as well, right? I don't get the hippo thing in the world.
Yeah, the whole kind of afterlife.
I don't get that at all.
Egyptian gods. The episodes were so long. I mean,
it really was.
Each episode was going for nearly an hour. I was genuinely bored. Like, I was on my phone while it was playing out. I think the first episode was great. And kind of set things up nicely, as you say, and there's just so much waste after that. It's another one that is coming close to a D, but I think Oscar Isaac is good enough for me.
Oscar Isaac is good enough. I'll give it a C.
I did like his dual performance. But after episode 1-2, I was thinking, this is something new. That's something they haven't done before. I realise I've not put Werewolf by Night in this list. Do you want to do Werewolf by Night?
I have not seen that.
Okay. I have. Let's give it a B. Fine. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Over to you, Zijian.
Don't like this. Only because, partially because as well, right? A much better multiversal movie came out in the same year, in the same time, which was Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Multi-Oscar winning, yeah.
Multi-Oscar winning. For a film that touts itself as a multiverse, they only introduced one universe that he went into. It was
not quite true, but well, close enough.
Yeah, close enough. It was mostly in that, and they don't touch. Like, it's such a wasted potential. Wasted potential. Scarlet Witch being an enemy, I liked. I get that. That makes sense. Although the whole jumping through the portals thing, she went a little bit cuckoo trying to, you know, catch the girl who does that. But I like that Scarlet Witch was a villain in this. Although it kind of didn't really follow up from where it ended from WandaVision, I don't think.
Well, I think that was the big problem. That the people making it did not know what happened in WandaVision.
Yeah.
And I saw a recent interview with Elizabeth Olsen where she was basically saying, I was telling them what happened. I was trying to marry these things together. Waste opportunity, exactly right. I think, again, Rachel McCann's coming back. I was quite excited by her, and I think she was fairly wasted in it as well.
Yep. A lot of waste.
I actually rewatched it a while ago and just didn't get through it. Sam Raimi, of course. Oh, it's a C for me, I think.
It's a C for me, yeah. For sure.
Ms. Marvel came out next month, the TV series starring
Iman Vellani.
Thank you.
I think it's saved by Iman Vellani, to be fair. I think it's like the first episode for Ms. Marvel is actually surprisingly really good. I love the colors. I love everything they did with the graphics with it. Like, the
character
so many,
is really great. Yeah.
Yeah. Then it all disappeared after the first episode. It makes no sense. Like, why do you introduce all these bright graphics, bright different things in the and
I
not
just
use
never
it
did
throughout
it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved the first episode. I really enjoyed the second episode and the last episode, and everything between was terrible.
The one where she went back into the past to Pakistan, I didn't get it all. I hated the djinn.
So strange.
Though.
Yeah.
The enemies, nah. Like, it was mostly say because I love Iman Vellani. I think she was made for this role. She's made for this role. So I'll give it a B.
Yeah, I'll just say, of all the things in this, it's the hardest to. Because if I'd give an A or B to the first half of the episodes, I'd give a D to the other half. I'm happy to give it a B. I think it's a generous B. But,
very generous.
Yeah. Thor: Love and Thunder. The month after that, Taika Waititi was back after the peak of Ragnarok that was well loved by everyone, and he made this. Natalie Portman is back. I think a lot. I know I was very excited by the return of Natalie Portman, bringing in kind of Lady Thor as she used to be called, and the Mighty Thor as she's called now.
Natalie Portman being Thor was a good idea. I don't think they delve into it enough. My liking. Christian Bale is wasted as the God Butcher.
Yeah, I think a lot of good stuff on the cutting room floor apparently for that.
I hated them suddenly giving all the kids superpowers in the end.
Oh, I forgot
like,
that.
What the heck? There's so much things I hate. I didn't like the whole going to Zeus thing. It was pointless.
Oh,
that whole scene was the whole scene could have been cut off. So it's basically just there so that we can see Chris Hemsworth naked. That's all.
Yes.
The whole scene was pointless.
Yeah. I got this thing with Taika Waititi. I think sometimes he's hilarious and sometimes he's just way overboard. And this was just, kind of. This is what happens when everyone tells you you're brilliant for years. And there's no one telling you, are you sure? And I think Chris Hemsworth's comedy performance of Thor, I hated it at Endgame. I probably didn't hate it as much here. But is it a C or is it a D?
It's a very low C for me.
I think I'll go low C. Yeah, because I'm gonna say there's good stuff in it. Right now, I can't remember what it was. But
Natalie Portman as Thor.
Natalie Portman
and the whole cancer thing. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. She-Hulk: Attorney at Law came out a month after that. The first sitcom, really, in the MCU. It got a lot of backlash from certain corners of the internet.
Yes.
And it's fair to say they didn't get around to finishing the effects before they put it out.
Yes.
But I loved this. I really love the performance, Tatiana Maslany.
I think Tatiana Maslany is very good. I think the CGI can use a bit of work.
Yeah. Daredevil, that episode, fantastic.
Awesome. Charlie Cox again, amazing. Yeah,
good to see him back. They got such great chemistry together as well.
I did not like the twerking scene at all.
No, the twerking scene was terrible. Well, I quite liked the fact that basically the bad guys were terrible men on the internet, which I thought was quite funny that then terrible men on the internet had a go at it.
Yes.
The last episode I thought was brilliant. The kind of the way they, because She-Hulk in the comics breaks the fourth wall a lot, the way they used that I thought was done really well. I'd say this is an A.
I'll give it an A too.
We've already covered Werewolf by Night, which apparently came next in October. And then we go into Black Panther Wakanda Forever, which we've done an episode on in November of that year. What do you reckon?
Let me try to remember what. Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Yeah. So I think the whole giving homage to
Chadwick Boseman.
I think it was done well. I think we're showing the different stages, different ways of grieving from the mom and Shuri as well. Mm. The different ways that they're grieving, coming to terms with the death of Black Panther. I really like that. Namor was okay, I guess.
Yeah, not done brilliantly, but had some good moments. I really liked Riri Williams. I thought she was a lot of fun.
The only thing I don't like is the last fight.
Yeah, okay.
That's one thing I remember very clearly.
Yeah. Well, I liked what they did with Shuri. I thought that was strong.
Yeah.
But it was... it was more forgettable than it should have been. And in fairness, they were dealt an impossible hand, really.
They really were. Like, I think, like, Okoye putting on the suit, I didn't like at all. I didn't like the whole everyone having to put out suits and everyone suddenly has, you know, could use vibranium to fight and all that. I didn't like that personally.
I didn't love the fact they brought in his son for some reason.
No, don't like that either.
For me, it's a B. I don't think it's... I don't know. It's a B
as well.
It's fine. It's fine. Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania is the third in the Peyton Reed Ant-Man trilogy. We see Ant-Man go into the quantum realm along with Cassie and the Wasp, whose name escapes me, Hope Van Dyne.
Hope.
Along with various other ant people, and they fight Jonathan Majors.
Yes. This is my D film.
Is it? Yeah. Okay. Put me through.
I don't like it at all. I don't like the whole plot point where it's someone, oh, I can't tell you this because I need to protect you. And when anything can be solved by just telling us about that 10 minutes ago. I don't like that as any plot point whatsoever. And it is the sole plot point of this film. And it's the sole driver for this film whatsoever. I hated that so much. Paul Rudd cannot save this film, put it that way. You shouldn't call this Ant-Man and the Wasp when the Wasp only get like 2 minutes of screen time in this whole film. I don't like it.
See, I don't like it. I thought it was disappointing. Bill Murray's in it for no reason. There's basically everything you say I agree with. The fact that you're going to this crazy new world and basically it's exactly the same, just with a slightly more colourful background and a couple of weird characters. However, I really liked the Ant-Man Kang fight at the end. I just thought it's the most visceral fight I remember seeing in MCU. Like, it felt like the punches hurt.
Jonathan, just came from Creed, right?
Yeah. I thought Cassie Lang was decent. What I didn't like was that basically the entire plot was what would usually take up maybe a scene in the first half, where it's like, do this or I'll kill your daughter. It's like, all right, done.
Yes.
I would have probably gone C, but I think D is harsh, but we haven't got any D's on our list yet.
Yeah.
Although we might know what, soon. We move on to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. James Gunn finishing his trilogy. This is largely a story of Rocket and where he came from. The second appearance of Linda Cardellini after her appearance in Hawkeye. She voiced one of the animals in this.
The best part about this film, I should say in our review as well, is that it's a standalone film. It's not tied into anything that's part of the MCU. So he can do his own thing. He can wrap up the story as he wants it to do.
Yeah.
And it shows. It's an A film for me. The only reason why it's not an S film is because Adam Warlock is totally useless, a pointless character in this whole film.
He's only there because they put him in there at the end of the last film, which I think they've even admitted. I think for me it's also I've only seen it once. For me, it doesn't quite reach the heights of the previous two. But maybe if I rewatch it, I'll disagree with that. But at the moment, I'd say, Linda Cardellini is always a secret weapon. The whole Rocket storyline is really, really beautifully done.
Oh, it really is.
I think my main objection to it, and again, it's kind of linked to Adam Warlock, I suppose, is that... what's his name? The baddie. His name escapes me now. He's already made this race of perfect golden people. Why is he making like weird rabbits and stuff? It's like you did it, mate. You succeeded.
Because they're cute.
But still very good. Let's give it an A. Secret Invasion. You haven't watched this, have you?
No, because it's a D.
It's a D.
I watched the first three episodes and I was like, this is one of the...
I didn't realize you got that far into it. Okay.
Yeah. For a film, for a comic book series where shape-shifting Skrulls are causing chaos on Earth, what a waste of potential. Mm. What a waste of potential. They could end any episode with saying, oh, this curse is actually a Skrull all along. Dum, 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 and, you know, causes lots of confusion. And what was the plan anyway? It's the weirdest plot point ever. Like, they don't like Earth because... they can't fit in. I don't know. I don't understand the whole thing.
I'm with you. I think it was rewatching Hawkeye and kind of thinking, you know, this is what they used to do. Because like, there's a scene between Samuel Jackson and Olivia Colman. I think, that was really nicely done. Olivia Colman, I think, is good in it. Emilia Clarke, maybe not so much. But yeah, I think two or three good scenes across the whole series is not good enough to get it out of a D category.
Yes.
So, yeah. Loki season two.
Okay, so you can guide me to this.
You've not finished this one, do you?
No, I've not finished it. Where did I finish it? I think they tried to stop the flux thing, and then he got turned into string. Jumping mages. Yeah.
I mean, the last episode is the best episode, I think.
Okay.
I really like this. I don't think it's as good as the first season, which we've given a B, but I gave that one a very high B.
Yeah.
Maybe even an A for me, but we've settled on a B. I'd give this a lower B.
Okay. Okay.
I can't put it in a C.
All right.
It's going to have to be B because it's definitely not better than season one. So.
Okay.
And we'll finish off then with The Marvels, which we did an episode on very recently. Yes. So let's cut to the chase. This is an A film for me. I know it's not done well at all, but I loved it. I think the cast is great.
I would have
liked to see, as we talked about, some scenes bogged out more.
Yes.
I had a great time.
Yeah, this is a B film for me. Only there's a lot of weird editing choices. We know where things have been cut. Annoyingly, I'm not hated. I did like the way where they talk about, oh, why you didn't save all those people, and then nothing came from it, kind of thing. The villain was forgettable.
That's true.
So yeah, it's a B movie for me.
Well, so. I caved on the others, but I'm going to give it an A.
Okay, let's do that.
Because
then.
I might rewatch it when it comes out on Disney Plus in 2 days or something, and find it less charming. But at the moment, I had a great time. So
cool.
Well, there you go. That means we have got, I won't go through the whole list, but there are two S properties for Spider-Man No Way Home and Hawkeye. And then our A's are WandaVision, She-Hulk, Guardians 3, and Marvel sneaking in there. Only two D's. So I don't know about you, Z-John. I think overall, maybe better than I remembered. I think there's a lot of stuff in here that's not great.
What's in BCD, though? Are there more in BCD then?
Let's have a look. Yeah. There are... 7 B's, 6 C's, and 2 D's. So it's maybe I'm not saying it's great. Certainly, if you put us up against any of the other phases, but it's overall that's not bad. There's a lot of good stuff in there. I think people are looking back on these last couple of phases thinking it was all garbage, and maybe if we've proven that it's not, but it's could still do better, let's say.
Yes.
And I've not looked at this, but maybe the higher grades are... Actually, I was going to say the higher grades are around the earlier period, but both the S's were from late 2021, so maybe that's why it feels like things haven't been so great recently. Let us know what you think. CZMovies@gmail.com. We spent longer on that than we were planning, but isn't that always the way? Let's finish on the quiz, Zijan. We're quizzing on Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. Do you want to kick us off?
Yep. Question one. The Field of Dreams is set in which US state?
Oh, I even looked this up.
Colin, spoiler alert.
I thought that's too harsh a question to ask.
What?
So I didn't ask it. I've seen this film.
Yes, corn in it.
There's corn in it. I'm pretty sure the team they get back in is New York Yankees, but I don't think it's set in New York. It feels more like Idaho. Maybe it is upstate New York. I'm going to say New York.
It's Iowa.
Iowa, fair enough. Who played the angel Metatron in the film Dogma?
The angel Metatron. That's the thing. I should have looked this up because I know who played Loki.
Okay.
Because it's Matt Damon. But I don't think he played two different characters.
You may or may not have ruled him out.
May or may not. Let's go Matt Damon.
Alan Rickman.
Ah, nice. Question two from me. For Good Will Hunting, Matt Damon became the fourth person nominated for both acting and writing in the same year. Name two of his predecessors.
Oh, wow. Okay. Cool.
I think one is very straightforward, though.
I haven't got a clue. I guess Orson Welles probably was.
Yep.
I'm guessing he's the straightforward one. Unless there's someone really obvious I've not thought of. So for acting and writing?
Yes, in the same year.
In the same year. I'm wondering if he didn't write them, did he? I was going to say Clint Eastwood or something, but I don't think he wrote. He just directed. Oh man, it's not going to be one of the ones. We've almost certainly done it for Look Back at Arsenal, haven't we?
Yep.
although, maybe Woody Allen?
No, unfortunately, you're going to kick yourself.
Oh yeah.
The obvious one is Stallone.
Ah, of course. Yes, that is obvious.
Yep. And then the last one is Charlie Chaplin.
All right, okay. Wouldn't have got that. Question two for you. This is my US state question for you. in school ties, David Green is from Scranton, which, so you're aware, is the same city that Joe Biden was born in. But which US state is Scranton in?
No idea. Delaware.
Pennsylvania. It's also the setting for the US version of The Office.
Ah, nice. Question three from me is, what are the names of the characters appearing in a fictional eponymous comic book series that is seen in Chasing Amy, Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back, and Jay and Silent Bob Reboot?
Blunt Man and Chronic.
Hey, well done.
Yeah, I did read the Wikipedia for that. Question three, Matt Damon played exec number two in Chasing Amy, but who played Little Kid?
Little Kid? Oh, I definitely didn't look up the cast of Chasing Amy at all. Let's go with...
Whatever your answer is, this could be a strong argument or not for you playing the Karate Kid.
Okay, let's go with Jaden Smith.
Casey Affleck.
Ah, that makes a lot more sense. question four from me is, who played Marguerite de Caro, one of the three main characters in The Last Duel, alongside Matt Damon and Adam Driver?
That was Jodie Comer.
That's correct.
Been on my watch list for, well, basically ever since it came out, so I've not yet got around to it. Speaking of The Last Duel, what Golden Raspberry nomination did it get?
That's for Ben Affleck, Worst Supporting Actor.
Correct.
To win, Colin, and I think to win the year, right? If you win this.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, this is an easy one because you've seen
so
this
much
film.
Pressure. So much pressure.
You've seen this film. Although not directly involved with the film Air, Michael Jordan met with Ben Affleck for one specific casting choice. What was it?
That was Viola Davis, wasn't it?
That's correct. For the win.
His mum. Hurrah. But I'll give you your last question, which is also about Air. What year was it set in?
19.
Yes.
19. Is that it?
It's a good start.
1993.
1984.
Huh. Why did I think it was later than that? Interesting. Huh. Oh, well.
What? Oh, I was going to ask you what we're quizzing on, but no, it's my turn to choose. We're quizzing on the Bourne movies.
As though it matters.
Because I'm three up with only two episodes left. What's our main topic for next time, Zijin?
We're looking back.
Nope.
And looking for... Nope.
No.
We're going through our predictions.
Yes. It's our 2024 predictions episode.
We are going through our predictions.
Which means I've got to try and find our predictions. Do you remember what you predicted? I've got no idea what I predicted.
I know. I predicted BTS again.
Well, we've still got 2 weeks, so you never know.
Yes, never know. Exactly.
We'll see you then.
Bye.